Karmani,
Karmani,
Asmin,
Asmin,
Ana, Anash Vase,
Anash Vase,
Duma,
Duma,
Dumra,
Dumra,
Atmanam,
Atmanam,
Bhavan,
Bhavan,
Apayati,
Apayati,
Govinda,
Govinda,
Ara.
Padma
Asavam,
Padma Asavam,
Madhu,
Madhu,
Karmanyasminanashvase,
Karmanyasminanashvase,
Dumadumratmanam Bhavan,
Dumadumratmanam Bhavan,
Apayayati Govinda,
Apayayati Govinda,
Padma Padma Asavam, Madhu, Karmanyasmin Nanashvase,
Karmanyasmin Nanashvase,
Dumadum Ratmanam Bhavam,
Dumadum Ratmanam Bhavam,
Apayayati Govinda,
Apayayati Govinda,
Padapadmasavam Madhu,
Padapadmasavam Madhu,
Karmanyasmin Nanashvase,
Karmanyasmin Nanashvase,
Dumadum Ratmanam Bhavam,
Dumadum Ratmanam Bhavam,
Apayayati Govinda,
Apayayati Govinda,
Karapadmasavam Madhu,
Karapadmasavam Madhu,
Karmanyasmin Nanashvase, Dumadum Ratmanam Bhavam,
Dumadum Ratmanam Bhavam,
Apayayati Govinda,
Apayayati Govinda,
Padapadmasavam Madhu,
Padapadmasavam Madhu.
Karmani,
Karmani,
performance of,
performance of,
Asmin,
in this,
Anash Vase,
without certainty,
Duma,
smoke,
Dumra,
Atman,
tinged body and mind, Bhavan,
your good self,
Apayayati,
Apayayati,
very much pleasing,
Govinda,
the personality of Godhead,
Pada,
feet,
Padma
Asavam, nectar of the lotus flower, Madhu, honey. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. We have just begun the performance of this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are flatly pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Govinda, which you are distributing. Translations there. Purport. The sacrificial fire kindled by the sages of Naimisharanya was certainly full of smoke and doubt because of so many flaws. The first flaw is that there is an acute scarcity of expert Brahmins able to carry out such performances successfully in this age of Kali. Any discrepancy in such sacrifices spoils the whole show, and the result is uncertain, like agricultural enterprises. The good result of tilling the paddy field depends on providential rain, and therefore the result is uncertain. Similarly, performance of any kind of sacrifice in this age of Kali is also uncertain. Unscrupulous, greedy Brahmins of the age of Kali induce the innocent public to such uncertain sacrificial shows without disclosing the scriptural injunction that in the age of Kali there is no fruitful sacrificial performance, but the sacrifice of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Śrīla Gosvāmī was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord before the congregation of sages, and they were factually perceiving the result of hearing these transcendental activities. One can feel this practically as one can feel the result of eating food. Spiritual realization acts in that way. The sages of Naimisharanya were practically sufferers from the smoke of a sacrificial fire and were doubtful about the result. But by hearing from a realized person like Śrīla Gosvāmī, they were fully satisfied. In the Brahmavaivarta Purana, Vishnu tells Lord Shiva that in the age of Kali, men full of anxiety of various kinds can vainly labor in fruitive activity and philosophical speculation. But when they are engaged in devotional service, the result is sure and certain, and there is no loss of energy. In other words, nothing performed for spiritual realization or for material benefit can be successful without the devotional service of the Lord. Jnana tamranda syaak nanjanana shlakaya chakshurna tamyena tasmai shri gurubhena. It's a very wonderful section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tomorrow's verse particularly, as you can see, is very, very famous, important verse. Today's verse is, let me say, prelude. In of itself, it is also very, very important to understand, especially Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada is expanding on this, not just to, let's say, describe the statement of the sages in Naimisharanya in terms of their somewhat frustration in the performance of their fire sacrifices and so on, but also in terms of the actual, say, purpose behind that. They are great sages, great acharyas, and they're actually showing by an example here that this type of performance, although in previous ages this type of sacrifice in previous ages was very effective, in this age of Kali it is not effective. And even here, at the beginning of the age, right at the beginning, most qualified amongst the sages, even they are finding frustration, dissatisfaction, a failure in a sense, in the performance of their sacrifices. In Kali Yuga, these Vedic sacrifices, fire sacrifices, other types of sacrifices are not effective. Just like today, for instance, today, I don't know, some of you may not, it doesn't really matter, right? Trying to engage in pure devotional service, so these things are secondary, not very significant. But today is a solar eclipse in Australia. So, usually on these days, it's considered to be, not very auspicious. So, there are all kinds of things to counteract that. For instance, we find the Srimad Bhagavatam on this occasion when Krishna was personally present on the planet and he was residing in Dwarka. The solar eclipse, full solar eclipse, which is the same today, also occurred on that occasion when all the residents, millions of people from all over the place, went to Kurukshetra, in the holy place there where, of course, the Parashram, where he performed his sacrifice after killing all of his Kshatriyas many times over, and he went there to atone, so to speak, who doesn't need expansion of the Lord, but still he went there to show by example. He went there to atone, and there he performed these five legs initially from the blood of the Kshatriyas, and he performed great sacrifices there. To this day, there's a holy place, and people go there on certain occasions. So the Redi, many people from all over went there apparently at that time to holy place, Kurukshetra. And then they took their vows and they fasted and they chanted and the glories of the Lord and song and so forth. So, you know, Krishna, together with his wives, sons, millions and millions of residents of Dwarka, went there together with all the other dynasties, even the Kuruvas, they were all there, Bhishma, Dhritarashtra, they were all there. And the residents of Vrindavan also went there this thing to do. They also heard that Krishna was going, so they were eager to be there. Even though they were in Vrindavan, they didn't need to go there. But they went there because Krishna was going to be there. So they all went there, and that way that's the process of atoning, of countering the ill effects of the eclipse. Same with the Kadashi. The Kadashi is a very auspicious day in one sense, but for those who take advantage of it in the spiritual terms, and then it's a very, very auspicious day. So these occasions can be extremely auspicious for those who take advantage thereby, the Tiki Bhakti Janami, their mothers of devotion, for those who observe them, and they help to nourish their devotion and kripas. For the general mass of people, they don't have a clue what is going on. I remember one time I was in Africa, in Uganda, 1979, we were preaching there. And I was alone, there was one black African boy, far out of places. And one day, I was on the street alone, distributing these magazines with Kurumungo. Any of you from Kenya who know this? Back to Godhead magazine. Anyone from Kenya? Tanzania? Uganda? Nobody? In England, so many people from Kenya, Uganda. Okay, so we were there in this town, I can't remember the name, a small town somewhere in the open. And all of a sudden, in the middle of 100 people gathered around and talking something, showing this magazine to some kid. And all of a sudden, everything went like semi-dark. Really weird. Really weird. Semi-dark. So I thought, what's going on? I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. I was completely out of touch with the news. And all of a sudden, there was a lot of people picking up some things and looking up in the sky, and I realized it was a solar eclipse. I looked up, I realized it was a solar eclipse. I'd never seen one before. So then, after that, everything kind of like, you know, fizzled out. It was a bit of a funny scene. I had some hustles from some Christian people who kind of left the place. Went back to the village. We were staying in this hut. There's a mud hut in the village. And then I got this incredible fever, unbelievable fever. I don't know, we just came out of the blue, just like that, on the spot, no apparent reason. And I was lying there in delirious condition, and a few hours later, all of a sudden, these Tanzanian army guys burst into the house with their machine guns. They come on motorbikes, and they were beating up this black guy who was with me, and they came in, boop, up, and then it was guns. And then they just took away the passport, money, everything, took it all away. And then they said, well, stay, we're going to investigate, and we'll decide what to do with you later. And they disappeared the next morning, next day. I was still delirious with the fever, and then they all came back in lorries and trucks. The whole village was ransacked, and people ran for their lives. And then they arrested us, they just drew us in the truck, and drove us off into the jungle. Intention of, you know, just shooting us. We're in the middle of the jungle, and all of a sudden there was lights coming the other way, coming towards us, and some man in the back of the truck opened up, and some guy was stood there, some black guy, and he spoke English, and he's speaking. And so that's what I was doing. I didn't know. And then after a few minutes, the truck turned around, and we drove back to the town, and we were thrown in the jailhouse. So the guy happened to be the assistant district commissioner, so he kind of sidetracked the army guys who were supposed to be under him, and we ended up in the prison for some days, and before they deported us out of the country, lucky to get away with our lives, his name, the other guy was a local guy, I guess he was wrong. So anyway, there's a lot more to that story, but I'm just telling that as an incident of you know, it just seemed to be so related to the fact that there was a solar eclipse, and I looked at the sun. So recommend you don't look at the sun this morning, 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Don't look at the sun. Keep it out of your eyes. It's said to be very inauspicious. In Vrindavan, the temple's club would be closed. I don't know today, but whenever there's an eclipse of the sun or moon, all the temples are closed, locked. No one eats, sleeps, does anything. Complete shutdown. Prabhupada never did that. We don't have to do that, but at least I would recommend you don't look at the sun. The devotional service rises above it, but we're not so transcendental, at least I would be. Anyway, it's a good experience. All the there in the Krishna book, they all went to Kurukshetra, they bathed and they chanted, you know, just absorbed themselves in devotional service during that period of time. So, I'll just read some very sweet mention. When the devotees from my Vrindavan came there, they saw Krishna and all the residents of Dwarka there in their royal regalia. Krishna came in his chariots and elephants and his kshatriya. And then the residents of Vrindavan go to see Krishna like this at all. Not at all. So this is actually from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We could read from Bhagavatam also. We just read this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The whole story of the Krishna book, a couple of chapters pretty much dedicated to it towards the end of the Krishna book. It's also interesting, it's not chronological, so you can't really say for sure. It was around about the time, maybe just before, just after, but sometimes it said before, sometimes after the Rajasuya sacrifice, which was a sacrifice performed in previous ages also, not so long ago, just when Krishna was on the planet, with his Jivanaraj performed this great Rajasuya yoga to be established as the emperor of the world. So yogis again are not realistic in this age, it can't be done. At that time, the residents of Vrindavan were very eager. They didn't remember having to see Krishna, but they were at the same time, it was hard for them seeing Krishna like this. They wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan, that was their purpose. And of course, you know, probably, that that's the mood of Rathiyatra Festival. This Rathiyatra Festival is based on this whole pastime of Krishna in Kurukshetra, and the residents of Vrindavan bringing it back. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rathiyatra Festival was in this mood. He was in this mood of taking Krishna, Jagannath, back to Vrindavan. So the whole parade between Sri Kshetra, the Puri temple, the Jagannath's temple, and Gundicha Marj, Gundicha Mahamandir, is this taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. All pastime and on the whole parade is based upon that principle. So we're, in that sense, this festival is extremely, it's not only a joyful festival, a wonderful preaching event, but it's also giving us this opportunity to enter into this most, I can say, wonderful privilege of the service of assisting the residents, especially the gopis, and the gopis to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So I'm going to read now what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing in this mood of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. And this is a very famous verse. I'm not going to read the original Sanskrit, whatever it is. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva under the Vitasi tree. That is my desire. The rave is another name of Jamuna Devi. So there is the gopis praying like this. The Krishna, that they want to come back to Vrindavan. This verse was recited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but the sweet Dhamma, no one could understand. explain this verse, now I shall simply describe it in brief. It was explained in this connection. I don't know if you've got the Madhya Leela here. Do you have Madhya Leela here? Madhya Leela, chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Madhya Leela. The explanation is there. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met Krishna in the holy place Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in his ecstasy, he asked Sri Damodar to sing the refrain. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath, "You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Sri Vrindavan." Kurukshetra is crowded with people. There are elephants and horses and then rattling of chariots. In Vrindavan, however, there are flower gardens and, as I said, Jagannath Balabha gardens. That's where Vrindavan begins. So you go from Kurukshetra or Dwarka to the Gandhija temple, which is Vrindavan, and the junction is that Jagannath Balabha gardens, beautiful gardens where Lord Chaitanya rests. Here at Kurukshetra, in Vrindavan there are flower gardens and the humming of the bees and the chirping of the birds can be heard. Like many cities today, you don't hear birds at all. No birds. In Melbourne you still hear birds. It's not bad. But in many cities like Manila, you never see it. You don't even see a crow on the streets. Anything else, there are no birds. Maybe it's down in the garbage dump, you'll find some crows. Well, most of the city is like a garbage dump. You still, most parts, you don't see crows. Many cities like that, people don't know what birds sound like. They don't know what a park is. And trees. Trees, maybe there's some old trees. Here at Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors, but in Vrindavan you appear just like an ordinary coward boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. It was simple. Life is so complicated now. That's why the yogi of this age is so simple. Because everything else is so damn complicated. Everything. Whatever you want to do is just damn complicated. So complicated. Disturbing age. So even before this age really kicked off, the sages are trying to do traditional yogas and even that's not working. So as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, emphasizing this age of Kali, in reference to the verse Harinam, the Kevam. In this age especially, the only process, all these other things do not work. They don't work, even if I try to adjust everything by following all the rules and regulations. But then Prabhupada said, if you follow all these rules, these things are mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilasana, the scriptures. If you follow all these rules, you'll never get out of the bathroom. You have to take a bath before you, practically before you finish bathing, you have to take another bath. these things are just not for this age. If somebody wants to follow it, they can follow it, good on them. But it's just not. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not have, he didn't even establish temples. He wouldn't. There's no mention of Lord Chaitanya establishing any temples or deity worship or anything. Or the speaker performing fire yogas. You don't see it mentioned. He just, Harinam. Of course, he went later on to the Lumban Bath. So. But in terms of his recitation of the world, it was just Harinam. He apparently made fun of those who were trying to follow the processes in the sage of Kali. Prabhupada Acharyas, of course, in Lord Chaitanya, told the Goswamis to establish relevant deity worship to support the purpose of Sankirtan. And the same thing with scriptures, relevant scriptures, which would be applicable or effective in preaching. That Hari Bhakti Vilas, much of Hari Bhakti Vilas is not practical. It's written for various reasons. It's written also to establish that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is also bona fide, because the smarter Brahmins don't accept Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So it's written, including many smarter Brahmana instructions, so that they will accept the authority or the authenticity of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's very pakabok from the smarter Brahmana perception. Prabhupada writes on purposes, practically speaking, it may be possible to practice in India, but not practice in other places. These instructions are heard back to last summer. Of course, we employ them in our daily worship. You can't take it word for word. It's not all encompassing like that. It's written for different reasons, incorporating all these different aspects. But primarily, the only effective practice in this age is the Harinam, Sankirtan, chanting holy names. Other things are also there to help prepare us, or help to purify us, to come to Shuddhanam, pure chanting holy names. There is no other way in this age of coming. And even when Lord Vamadeva was, on behalf of the demigods, of course, was delivering by and large, and returning the universe to the demigods, is the upper planetary system to the demigods. And when Balimaraj was cursed by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, to go down to the lower planets, kind of hellish, so to speak, he was cursed because Balimaraj gave Balimaraj this charity, and Shukracharya said, "Don't give him anything, he'll take everything." But Bali Maharaj insisted to keep his promise, so Shukracharya cursed him after disobeying an instruction, but basically because Shukracharya would thus also be out of a job, and he'd be on the dole on the social security. He wasn't very happy about that. He was on a good, had a good job, and then all of a sudden, Bali Maharaj kind of gave everything away, so poor Shukracharya, you could say, lost his job, redundant. He wasn't really redundant. Anyway, after Balimaraj went down to the lower planets, that's another story altogether, Lord Vishnu then asked Shukracharya, "What was the fault? Why did you curse him?" And Shukracharya said, "Actually, my lord, mantatastam tatastam. Even though all the mantras may be wrong, they may be wrong, so we perform fire yogas and so on, of course. We do all these fire yogas, and you can more or less rest assured that, we're not chanting the mantras properly. Sometimes in the wrong order, sometimes the wrong mantras altogether. One yogi, the priest only realized at the end of it, he chanted entirely the wrong mantras for his yogas. It was a marriage ceremony, and he chanted the sannyas mantras. Nobody even noticed. Nobody has a clue what's going on. Nobody has a clue what's going on. Let's be honest. Unless you just chant the words of the mantra. Nobody knows what's going on. The priest is flipping his fingers and clicking his fingers. Even if all the mantras are wrong, and even if all the paraphernalia is not in order, order the thing is not correct, and the place is not correct, and the time is not correct, and the Brahmins are not qualified, things are going on all around, children sticking their fingers in mouths and things like that, and the priest has got his baby sat on his lap sometimes, all sorts of things are going on. It's completely bizarre. But Shukracharya said, even if everything is wrong, my lord, actually there is no fault. Because Anusankirtanantama, because he has chanted your holy name, my lord, therefore there is no fault. This is the only activity which is in the special for speaking of. And in previous ages, or to speak of this age, everything becomes nischukti, everything becomes faultless. Whatever we may do, we're going to make so many Seva Amrita systems. We shouldn't purposely do it on the name of the strength of Jnana, honestly. But we should try to avoid offenses. But inevitably, imperfections are there. Inevitable. And don't worry. Whatever happens, even today, whatever it is, just chant Hare Krishna. Keep chanting. Keep chanting. And if it helps us to increase our chanting, jolly good. You know, sometimes difficulties are good because they help us to really become serious about chanting. There's nothing else can protect us. Nothing. So this is the results of saying Bhagavad-gita is also the kirtan. So the sage of Maharshanya, they're doing their Maharshavis. Even the recitation of all the Vedas. Sisla Swami didn't just speak Bhagavad-gita, he spoke many other literature, let's say, other knowledge, much more other things too, from the Vedas and this and that. But until he presented the Srimad Bhagavad-gita, nothing was satisfying, just like Vyasadeva himself. When he had compiled all the Vedas and the Sutra, the Puranas, the Itihasas, the Mahabharata, so many scriptures, he was still not feeling satisfied. Something was missing. And when Arjuna came along, he said, "Something undone, Prabhu? You're feeling undone?" And funny word, things unfulfilled. And then Arjuna, in not just exactly, of course, but indirectly, indicated that Vyasadeva made a big mistake by not sufficiently, or not presenting the conclusion, the actual conclusion, the purpose behind it all. The purpose behind it all. There's no point in all these various activities, sacrifices, study of scriptures, austerities, and so on, unless one comes to the conclusion. It's a shamanic cave, it's pretty much a waste of time. Pretty much a waste of time. All these things may have some material effect, may not. But even if it does, so what? What's the benefit of it? Still with material world. Even if you do get it, what's the use? You have to come back again. It's still material. So the purpose, the real purpose of Vedas is not just to facilitate our sojourn in this world, making it better and counteracting all the sinful reactions by various atonement, prejudices, and this and that. But it's actually to release the soul, and to really not just release the soul, that's another shortcoming. If you think just to get out of this world is the goal of the Vedas, then just take step by step by step. The goal of the Vedas is to re-establish our relationship with Krishna, to know Krishna, to taste your service for me, the yogi down to the theory with David Sharma. To know Krishna, it's not just to understand the material energy or even how to get out of it, but to know our relationship with Krishna. That's the perfection of knowledge. And if you have that knowledge, the knowledge of realization, there's no need of anything else. Everything else is superfluous, it's not of any value. So like states that one who's already chanting Hare Krishna is already considered that they've studied all the Vedas, they've done all these sacrifices. What it means, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but whatever it means you've attained the purpose behind it. One's already achieved the purpose behind all these. The study of all these scriptures, what's the use of studying all these things, having all this knowledge, if we're not surrendered to Krishna? It's no value. Just like a heavy weight around the neck. Loading us down, just like a chakrasura or somebody, load bearing fool. So we don't want to be like that. If we have all this knowledge, we're not using it in Krishna service, it's useless, waste of time. No problem. Same thing with talent, same thing with everything. You have to somehow try. Sometimes circumstances don't directly allow it. Whatever we try to use in Krishna service, we don't deny. Everything is to be used in Krishna's service. That's what it's for. That's why it exists. So they use everything in Krishna's service, whatever is made available by Krishna. Other people think they're making it available, ultimately Krishna's making everything available, and it all belongs to him. So the devotees try to utilize everything in Krishna's service, no matter what it is. Inauspicious days become auspicious, they use it in Krishna's service. Everything becomes auspicious. And we use these vayas, even though they're imperfectly performed, in Krishna service. We use daily worship, everything for Krishna service, even though we're not really up to the standard. Not really up to the purity that's required for such yogis and such daily worship and so on. Under the direction of pure devotees, we've been authorized to do these things, even though they're imperfect. But we should understand the purpose behind it is to facilitate the yuktam, the spreading of the holy name in themselves. They're not the they attract people because people are on the material platform, and in that way we can attract and engage people in chanting the holy names. That's the idea. So all the things, even the way we dress, the way everything really is to say, even prasadam itself is absolutely transcendental because it's offered with love and devotion. And even if it's not, it attracts people, and that's where we can engage them in chanting Hare Krishna or associate with the devotees hearing the holy name or something. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on, here at Kurukshetra you were dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors in Vrindavan, you appeared just like an ordinary carol boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. The residents of Vrindavan have no interest. They have no interest in Mathura, Dwarka. A whole different mood is there. It's a completely different mood. They can't go there, really. They may appear to go there for a short while. They expand. The residents of Vrindavan, those who are eternal associates, the interested in Parishaks, they expand. Just like the queens of Dwarka, they're expansions of the gopis of Vrindavan. They're all expansions. But they're in a completely different mood. They appear to be separately constituted or separate individuals. They are separately, you could say, in a separate mood altogether. In this world, we don't have that direct experience. We do have it indirectly in the sense that when we are, for instance, in the pub, when you go down to the pub, maybe Friday night, you're going to the pub somehow and have a drink down at the local bar, you're in a different mood than when you're in the office. The same person, but it's like you're a different person. The people you're in the office, maybe the people you work with in the office, you have one relation, in the bar, you have a different. Well, when you're on the sports field, a different relationship. Well, when you're at home, you found a different relationship. Same person, but like
you don't want them to mix up. I think this has stopped working. What is it? It suddenly disappeared. Like in this world, we can be talking away, and suddenly it all stops. Walking down the street and suddenly everything ends.
The sages in Amishana did not have microphones. They had no loudspeakers. There were 88,000 of them gathered listening to Sri Goswami. They didn't have all these microphones. How on earth did they hear? There's 8 of them, there's not even 80 of us, maybe 60 of us, 20, 50 or 60 of you in this room, and hardly you can hear. Even with the microphone, you can't, still can't hear practically. I asked you what we said 5 minutes ago, I doubt whether anyone will be really safe. We don't really hear, even though we've got all these facilities struggling to hear. They never had any microphones, they never had any earphones, they never had any. It wasn't that Sri Goswami was screaming his head off. It wasn't that they were all piled up on top of each other, straining to hear, you know, climbing on top of each other. They were sat comfortably at large, vast distance. And he was just speaking, and he wasn't screaming. They weren't like passing the message on. What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? They weren't sitting there even writing it down. They remembered everything he said. They didn't have like secretaries, scribes writing it all down. They could remember. It was slightly different circumstance. They were most qualified sages. Of course, the atmosphere was completely pure. It's interesting here. There's also a different atmosphere of Kurukshetra and a different atmosphere of Vrindavan. They're completely different. It's like certain birds, they cannot handle certain atmospheres, and certain birds, you know, they fit in different places. And there's certain living entities there at home in climatic situations, cities, and so on. You know, but the spiritual, we all really belong in the spiritual atmosphere. Even materially speaking, we can see that birds are, once one man's meat is another man's poison, they don't fit in. It just can't run, just can't live there. The different people are like that, so they're also there here, even here, in Krishna's pastimes. So these sages, they were in Naima Shrine. Some of you have been to Naima Shrine. Who's been to Naima Shrine? Not yet. Let's take a trip there you know, it's a really off the beaten track. It's not like Vrindavan, which is like, you know, sounds like a description of, you know, Kurukshetra practically here. Nowadays, Vrindavan sounds more like Kurukshetra than Kurukshetra does. It's like, instead of chariots, it's buses and lorries and cars. You can't cross the road practically. Rattling and blowing their horns, isn't it? Just cool. Piccadilly Circus. It's people everywhere. It's okay, that's another form of surrender to Krishna. It's not what you, it's not like your mental concept is in God. It's a beautiful place everywhere. When I go there, I will see all the peacocks everywhere. The forests of Vrindavan, the beautiful Kadamba flowers. I will go down to the sweet Jamuna, clear waters of the river Jamuna, and take my bath there on the soft sandy paths as I walk on the pericular, the soft sandy pericular paths, with all the birds flying everywhere, and everywhere, you know, it's not quite like that. You can barely find the soft sandy path on the pericular. Where are the forests? There's a few thorn bush forests here and there. Where's that pure, clear Jamuna water? It's all there, but we can't see it. We're covered over. You know, they say there's no Jamuna water there at all. I've heard. I mean, again, it's not the Jamuna, it's an angry river, and she's controlled by some, you know, water engineers or something. Beyond that. But from the material point of view, that's how it appears. You know, there's concrete and tarmac roads all around the Purkama path, all the way now. It's not a square inch, it's a sandy path. It's all gone. And they want to build a bridge over the Jamuna, covering the, you know, passing on Kashiya, a highway, going down Kashiya, so the lorries and buses can speed around the garden. 70 kilometers, 80 kilometers an hour. And it was just, you know, so like a few hundred million crores were allotted to develop the Vrindavan. And that means it's building flyovers and skyscrapers and shopping plazas and golf courses and hotels. Nothing to do with, you know, actually, you know, venerating the holy place with a pilgrimage or anything like that, or creating a sublime, the materialistic people atmosphere that they can appreciate a little bit more. Very difficult. It's like a holiday resort, you know? Living in luxury, living in a penthouse suite, you know, this MBT, this place, that place, more opulent than the West, and eating food which you don't even eat in the West. It's not exactly the mood, say the mood of the town, but not exactly, it's more like Kurukshetra. Anyway, back to where we were. Where were we? Huh? 5 minutes ago. You can't even hear. We were in the forest of Naimisharanya. So they say it's because the atmosphere was so pure, they did not have internet. Terrible. They had no mobile phones. Oh my goodness. No computers, no laptops, no iPads. And we all depend on iPads. You have to depend on Prabhupada, not iPads. The iPad is the personification of the false ego. iPad. Now, using Krishna's service, then it becomes, you get released from that. It's no problem. Good tool to use in Krishna's service. But they had no iPads, iPhones, iPhones, or iPhones. They had none of these things. There was no electricity. Nothing. So, believe it or not, but the atmosphere is totally disturbed by all these technological introductions. The sound vibration, the ether is completely disturbed. All the mundane sound vibrations which are vibrating the atmosphere were absent from Naimisharanya. Even the birds were silent, the leaves stopped rustling. Everything was silent. There was no interference in the ether or the air. The wind stopped blowing. There was no interference. There were no factories. None of these things. No cars blowing their horns. No motorbikes revving up. Nothing. No one was doing anything else. Nothing else. They weren't even making cars. You could hear a pin drop. So the environment was very pure and clean and silent. On top of that, the minds of those sages, they were not ordinary sages. The fact that they were failing in their fiery levels was just to, introduce the fact that this is not for this age. They wanted to establish religious principles of this age, so they first of all dismissed dismissed anything other than devotional service as being unaffected. Whether it's study the Vedas, performing sacrifices, yogi sacrifices, austerities and so on. So to establish on the positive side, the only practical process is the devotional service, bhakti yoga. So their minds are also pure. When the mind is pure, then that sound vibration can actually enter in. So the sound goes unimpeded through the ether. No impediment. It doesn't slow, get diverted, muffled, reduced. It goes unimpeded through the ether. Just like you can see through when the water is completely clean. Sometimes you're on a boat, maybe off the on the coast, maybe around here too, I don't know, but on the coast sometimes you go to the coral reefs. The water is so clean you can see down 20, 30, 40, maybe more feet into the water. Right? You can see the ripples, it's not very wavy. You can see the bottom practically exactly as it is. It's very what can you say? It's a very enlightening sight in one sense. So sometimes you can see that because the water is clear. So when the atmosphere is clear, the mind is clear, then we can hear. And we can hear. My father used to say to me, sometimes you can grow potatoes in your ears. You don't hear a damn thing in this stuff. Not listening. Stop listening. We've got so many things in our heads. And we say, Father said, your head's full of cow dung. Can't hear a damn thing. Stuff with cow dung. There's so many damn things, so many nonsense things in our minds. So many things in our minds. And we don't realize it. We have no faith in the holy name, but just hear the holy name, all this stuff will be cleared up. The name was the use of trying to satisfy it, all it's all going to be gone anyway. 90% of the time it's gone before we get around to thinking of how to satisfy it anyway. And people do it on the internet all the time, they write a letter, by the time you reply, it's all changed. And you spend two hours answering a letter. And you said, oh, thank you very much. I'm happy to say that the whole situation changed before I received your letter. Previously we never used to do this. We would never, there was no internet. If you had to write the letter, you really had to think about it. And it took a week to get there. Maybe the person wouldn't even care where it reached. Maybe after months, if you're lucky, you get a reply. And now we expect to reply on the spot. People are so passionate. No, we have to try to take shelter of the actual solution. The actual solution is right in front of our nose. We're looking somewhere else, like cows who've got grass full of feet, full of grass, and they stick in their nose in between the electric fence to peck away at the grass next door. And they've got like mountains of grass right in front of them. You see them all the time. Ducks, same thing with ducks. You throw some food to a duck, and he's got that food, and you throw some in another direction, the duck will leave that and run over to that other food. And another duck will get to it, and they'll fight them. They lose what they've got, and they don't even get what they go for. Everything's here. Prabhupada has given us everything. We just take shot of the holy names, carefully try to hear the holy name, create a pure atmosphere, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, attentively. This is a Sunday 10 in the morning program. We're living in the temple or home, wherever we are, as much as we can. This is the medicinal process. Everything else is just superfluous. It's just to help to bring us to that. All the various things that maybe have to be done, but they're second. process of curing the ills of this age, it was to hear Krishna Katha. To hear Krishna Katha. Tomorrow and Sunday, whenever it is, you have this 12-hour kirtan. Try to hear the name. It's not about showing off, oh, it's my time now, let me see if I can sing better than the previous one. Get more and more attention or something. It's all about just exposing ourselves to the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name. To hear that sound vibration. And automatically, Krishna, he's the best therapist, he's the best doctor, he's the best everything. He'll purify our hearts. Purify us. Solve all the problems. And then we'll realize that Krishna will return back to Vrindavan. Struggle to adjust this chaotic world anymore. Even if we're in this world, there's no more struggle. When we're living in Vrindavan, this heart is no different than Vrindavan. And this is exposing ourselves to the transcendental Goloka Premadama Harinam Sankirtan. That holy name which has come from Goloka Vrindavan. So expose ourselves to that name. Try to hear the name. If we don't chant it, we're not going to hear it. Starts, we don't chant it, so how are we going to hear it? If there's no chanting, there's no hearing. I'm going to say that sense. Chant the Bhagavatam, chant the holy names. This is whatever is going, all the other things come and go. Everything else comes, everything else goes off, the holy name goes on. Goes on. It's eternal. It doesn't stop. It carries on forever, just deeper and deeper. Hare Krishna. Are you going to finish there? It's late. If you've got that Kijai, any questions? Questions? Complaints? Arguments? Objections? Comments? Rejections? Anything?
Maharaj, when we are chanting the holy name during the devotional service, our mind is always carried away somewhere else. Why was that, and how we can bring that mind back to chanting the holy name intensively?
I guess this question comes up every day. I think every class this question comes up. And Krishna's telling you something. How to bring it back? How to bring that naughty boy back home? Well, I guess first of all you have to desire it. There's to be some desire there. Sometimes we don't seem to have any desire. We're quite happy to go on a walk with our mind somewhere. Go on a honeymoon. Down the path, and who knows where. Mystery ride. If we really want to, then what will we do? I mean, if you're sincere about that, or is it just another, is it another verbal sort of thing which we say? If we really mean it, do we really want our minds to come back? Do we really want to be with Krishna? Do we really want to be with the holy name? If we don't, then we can try to be with somebody who does. We sit in front of Tulsi Devi, that's one thing. The process is to sit and chat in front of the pure devotee. So Tulsi's here. She's appeared in this world to give us, to fulfill that purpose, amongst others. So we have a chance to chant the holy name in front of Tulsi. And what do you do? Pray. Prayer is a good thing. Beg, appeal, help. You can't control your minds very easily. Well, I can't at all. But it's practically impossible, so we take shelter of Krishna. It's a great opportunity. As Queen Draupadi was unable to protect herself in Dushasana Karna, what could she do? But she took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna protected her. So, what can we do? Mind is going to wander. Mind's nature is to wander, isn't it? And this material is a nature. If you try your best not to put more dirt in there, if you cause it to be more disturbed, and try to fill it up with as much Krishna consciousness as possible. So hopefully then at least when it does wander, it will wander to Krishna conscious thoughts and not mundane thoughts. That's a pretty good start. When I say start, that's a pretty good sign. You can try mechanically to try to fill the mind up with Krishna conscious thoughts, something which attracts your attention. That's another process some people do. In other words, you may be attracted to go down hill or something, so you kind of try to remember you're being go down hill and chant at the same time, and that is sort of better than mundane thoughts occupying your mind and disturbing like that. Others have got, you know, maybe a little bit more determination or willpower. You just keep bringing the mind back onto the holy name, just trying to hear the holy name, prayer, and all the other things that we mentioned earlier are all there. The devotional, practical devotional service in the beginning is essential because we have no taste or attraction to the holy name. We chant, we carry on serving at the same time. Daily worship, study the scriptures, everything's there to try to help us to become more and more purified, service to the pure devotees. We have no taste in the holy name. We still have a taste for these other things. We go in all over the place. If you show up, dance, you lost the day with the power of chi. We have to take shelter of those who can help us. We serve those devotees. We're freed of all these things, freed of all those who are with the Krishna. We hear from those who are without any material disturbance. And like that, everything Prabhupada has given us is to try to help us. It's not only one thing, many things packaged here to help us to gradually become eligible to hear the holy name and purity, hear with affinity, with attraction. But as long as there are an artist in our hearts and stage of Bhajan Kriya, which we're trying to perform in devotional service, it's an asthitika. It's always unsteady. We're not Nishka. We're unsteady in our devotional practice, externally and internally. So the more you're steady in a regulated program, the more chance that the mind will become steady. Well, it's still maybe wavering for a long time. It's all part of the purification process. You just have to see it like a package deal. You keep taking shelter of Krishna. Keep taking shelter of the pure devotees of the Lord. Take shelter of Krishna. Pray. If we haven't got that, we haven't got that realization of Chaitanya Krishna, Chaitanya Vasudeva. The holy name is Krishna. So we pray to the Lord, we pray to the devotees for their help. The Swamis, they can help us. There are six Gurus, Haridas Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and so on, to help us to chant the holy name without offense. You have to pray for them. You have to keep chanting, Prabhupada said. You may be offensive, and you may be one. Prabhupada said, then chant 64 rounds, not 16. That's what he said. He said, when Prabhupada was wandering, was in offensive, then chant 64 rounds instead of 16. Chant more, not less. Some of the words have got the weird idea that you should chant less if your mind is wandering. God knows where they got that. Their own fertile brains because they don't want to chant. But the recommendation is chant more, not less. That's the sacrifice. We don't perform sacrifice, what can you expect? We have to be willing to perform some sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to bring the mind back, it's a sacrifice to pray, it's a sacrifice to, you know, life is mental. Without sacrifice, how can we make any progress? The sacrifice has to be according to Guru Shastra. So and sit with devotees, you have your japa retreats sometimes, they're very good to, you know, focus and spark us up a bit. Give us a few hints and tips, listen to each word, for example, all the each word, just try to hear each one. Hare Krishna, don't worry about the last one. Live in the present. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hey, baby, hold on.
I'm getting hungry, tired. I'm also calm. We chanted enough now. Come on, it's time to stop. Look, your baby's popping. probably have woken up by now. After all, you haven't checked the news today or internet. Come on, quick, let's go. Look at that devotee over there. He's disturbed. Let's get out of here. Come on, come with me. We can go down to the beach. It's a good time to take a bath. Come on, let's go, let's go. Come on, get out of here. You remember those good times we had years and years ago on the cricket pitch? You remember those? Come on, let's go back again and enjoy together. Just for a few moments, and you can come back again. Don't worry. Come with me. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Who knows what's happening? Nobody knows what's going on in each other's heads. God, thank God we don't know. Sorry. Hey, come on, Diva. We've had enough of that now. That's enough. That was nice, okay. Now we're going to go somewhere else. Come on. Sorry, I'm a little busy. I've got an appointment right now. What do you mean you've got an appointment? What about me? Come back later. Come on, I'm still here. Come on. I'm a bit busy right now. I've got an appointment with someone else. Come back later. Come on, you're going to see me. Come on. Don't you know me? I'm your old friend. I'm your best friend. Come on, enjoy with us. I'm a bit busy right now. I've got an appointment with Krishna. Come back later. God, this guy's a useless guy. And then she'd go away. You have an appointment with Krishna. You have an appointment with an important person. Anyone calls up, it doesn't work. Even if you have a job interview? And do you turn your mobiles off during the job interview or not? Do you turn them off? You're in the middle of a job interview, you're trying to get a job, you're desperate for a job. You're going to leave your mobile on, ring every 2 minutes during the job interview? Are you going to have a conversation with somebody else in the middle of the job interview? Go out to the window, walk off, go and look out the window, see who's outside. Start reading the newspaper, light up a cigarette, start talking to the guy about, your own personal, whatever things. Start criticizing the guy for the way he looks. It's not going to work. You're going to lose the job before you start. You're going to dress up nice. You're not going to go in there with your shorts on, beard over your shirt on or something, You're going to prepare yourself for the event, and then you're going to be on top form during that thing because you want the job. So if you really want, then we can chant Hare when you're doing japa, then this is our time of Krishna. You have to be careful. You have to be serious. And the morning is the best time. If you can do it in the morning, early hours of the morning. Best time, all hours. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.